It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Sure, it's a slow news day. Why not? How you doing, Will?
Last week, thanks to you...
Oh, dear.
I know, this is a positive thing for once that you did. I got a little more cultured. I went with you to an opera of
you
sorts.
You did, an opera of sorts.
It was in like, but it was, because it wasn't in an opera house, it was like in a cathedral.
No, we went to go see a community production of Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood, which, for any of you who saw Moonrise Kingdom, that is the opera that is being put on by the children throughout the course of the film.
And I realized that throughout the course of the opera, and then I got excited because I could relate it to film.
You're like, why do I know this music? Oh, right, from the movie. It was fun.
Yeah, you had four tickets, you invited me, and you invited two women who then canceled on us.
Story of our lives. They were free tickets, though, so I wasn't out too much.
Yeah, so they're just time and dignity. So what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, we're at 200 likes, but the road to 204 is still in full force. So keep on Facebooking and telling people, spreading the word. Everyone, tell one friend so that this is just another pyramid scheme and everyone wins. Secondly, a couple weeks ago I put up the Facebook suggestion question where people can give us feedback. None of you gave us any feedback, so I'm going to assume that just means that everything is perfect.
Everything we do is perfect. We're glad that you people agree.
Well, you don't give us feedback on the Facebook boxes, but we get diatribed at on Twitter regarding certain things.
People get angry at us on Twitter, but that's par for the course.
So, that's generally what's going on, and you know the drill.
Like us, tweet at us, all that garbage. Who's our sponsor this week?
Well, this week's episode is brought to you by the Chechen Board of Tourism. It's really quite beautiful here, we swear. Chechnya, country of lots of people who are not deranged bombers.
I was gonna cancel my trip to
Grozny,
but then, you know, now that they're a sponsor, I figure I'm gonna...
You've never lived until you've seen the poplar trees in Grozny in the spring.
On the show this week, Hannibal is easily one of the best things NBC has going for it, so let's figure out how they're going to screw it up. Michael Bay has made his version of an indie film with Pain and Gain. And The Enemy is going to involve all you online sleuths and the trouble you might be causing. But first, I am very excited to have with us today. She's the founder and director of the Shriekfest Horror Film Festival. I've talked about this on the podcast before, and I've talked about her a lot before, so we're very excited to finally have her on the podcast, Denise Gossett.
Hello, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Hello. Denise is calling us via Skype all the way from Florida.
Yes, I'm down here with some meetings.
So we got exciting stuff brewing, then you'll be able to tell us about.
Well, I'm kind of in lockdown right now. I can't really talk about much, and I haven't really decided much. I can tell you that I'm down here. I have lots of agents in the South now, because Louisiana, as you know, is like booming with movies and TV, and Florida is, and North Carolina is, and Atlanta is.
So all I hear about is all the products being filmed in New Orleans all the time now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so I'm down here, I'm kind of taking meetings that my agent, casting directors and people that she wants me to meet, and it's going splendidly.
Excellent. Well, let's take a step back to, let's talk a little bit about Shriekfest.
Okay.
How long has it been around, and why, I guess, is the question.
Why
and how are the questions.
Okay, well, this is the 13th year.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah. That's a good horror number.
It came about because, as you know, I'm an actor, and 13 and a half years ago, I starred in a horror film, and of course, it was my first starring feature, and I wanted the whole world to see it, no matter how bad it was.
How bad was it?
It's bad.
A little film called The Blair Witch Project.
No. So I was trying to get the director and producer sort of take at the festival circuit, and they kept saying, there's no festivals that cater to horror. It's not even worth trying. And I just couldn't believe that. So I started searching around, and sure enough, I found one in Europe, and I couldn't find any in the U.S. So I told my sister-in-law my idea, my crazy, goofy little idea, and she's like, let's do it. We thought we'd be like, it'd be some fun little hobby we could do. We'd have fun with it, and then it blew up.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I've been a number of years, and I've noticed, from the first one I went to was in 2004, where I had actually had a script in it. And since then, I remember going like 2 years ago, and it grew so much over these years. It's kind of amazing.
It is crazy. You know, we get submissions from every country out there. It is mind-boggling. First of all, I don't even know how they're hearing about us. And you know, in all 13 years, we have never paid to advertise.
Really?
This has all been word of mouth. And you know how you can get Google alerts? Well, I have Google alert on Shriekfest, and some of the things will pop up. Like every once in a while, I'll be aboard, like a board of screenwriters or a board of filmmakers that I really shouldn't be able to see this information. Every once in a while, that'll show up on a Google alert.
Yeah.
And people are talking about Shriekfest, and it's all raving.
That's awesome.
I know. It's really cool.
Well, here's my question for you. You started this as a venue to get your horror film scene. Do you actually like horror movies, or is this just a thing that you've backed into over the years?
Oh, no, I do love horror movies.
Okay.
But this has made you a bigger fan, I'm sure, being part of this.
Yes, I've always been a fan. Through the years, some things have gotten better. Like, when I first started, I wasn't always a fan of zombies. I just didn't like it for some reason. I mean, they were okay if it was a great film, sure. And through the years, I've gotten to love zombies, I guess because I've seen so many.
I was going to say, how many? That must be the thing that you get a ton of now, because zombies are so in the zeitgeist everywhere you go, so you must get tons of submissions.
Well, did you write a script about zombies?
I believe I might have written a zombie script. That might have been part of Shriek, but that was before they were... This is before Walking Dead.
This was only after the remake of the George Romero Dawn of the Dead came out.
Exactly. So you must get... Is that the most that you get, like, nowadays? Like, a lot of zombie stuff?
Well, you know, it's interesting because every year seems to have, like, a theme. Like, everybody's on the same wavelength. Like, some years it's werewolves, and some years it's vampires. One year it was horror porn. I mean, not torture porn, literally pornos, and then they killed the person. I was like, what is going on here? It's so bizarre.
Yeah. Did you screen those as the Shriekfest After Dark, like, screening?
Yeah, exactly. This year... I'm not really sure. I mean, there is a lot of zombies, but I'm also seeing vampires. I'm seeing, last year, and I'm not seeing quite so much of it this year, but there is still some found footage.
Okay. I feel like that's dried up a little bit. How many golem movies
has,
do you get?
It has, Sean. It really has. And I wish people would put more of a twist on it or something, because... There's so many, and they're all the same.
Yeah, I think it's with found footage movies, so much of it is based on the story, and that just needs to work. And if it just is sloppy for sloppiness' sake, you're going to disconnect with the audience very quickly.
And a lot of filmmakers probably view it as, oh, we found a cheap way to make a movie, the found footage way, and they're not thinking as much about story, probably.
Exactly, and it can be handheld, and it can be jumpy, and it can look bad, and it's okay, but no, it's not okay.
Yeah.
We're kind of tired of seeing it.
Now, the... I want to take a brief step back here, because you said that you started off, you were an actress, and that's why you started this festival, to kind of give a venue for people who were in horror films and they could have their stuff screened. So, like, when did you start as an actress? Where are you from originally? In fact, I don't even know that. Where are you from? Did you come to L.A.? Were you in this area?
Yes, I came to L.A. from Florida, actually. I have a lot of family here. And I was born in North Carolina. I lived in Wisconsin and Illinois. Then we moved to Florida. But I moved to L.A. from Florida.
Okay.
And, yes, ever since I was little, I wanted to be an actor. Never really did anything about it till high school. High school, I did a couple of plays, and I was hooked. And then there was some colleges coming around doing auditions for scholarship, and I was so naive and green, and I always say naivete will take you far, because man, what you don't know will not hurt you and it won't scare you or anything. So sure, I went and auditioned and I got scholarship.
Awesome.
I didn't know what I was doing. It's ridiculous. And then like they had, the way they had it set up is if I audition again the next year, so like they gave me the first year to kind of reel me in, and then of course I was getting better and better and better, and majored in theater, and then after I graduated college, moved to LA and pursued and pursued and busted, and finally started getting lots of work. It's, you know, it was because I was union, I kept getting offered non-union, although I will say when I was in Orlando, I did the Superboy, the series. I don't know if you guys remember.
Superboy, I used to watch that. I mean,
I played Lex Luthor's sister.
I'll be honest, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I used to watch that, yeah.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I remember vividly the guy who played.
For what it was.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. And they had a lot of fun. You know what I liked about the Superboy series? They had a lot of, and I never thought we'd be talking about this, but they had a lot of, they dealt with a lot of, like, the other Superman characters, like Bizarro was in it sometimes, or
yes.
Mr., that guy who he has to say his name backwards, Mr. McPlixel, or whatever his name is.
I got no idea what you're talking about. I'm just barely familiar with Superboy from having a vague awareness of the comic book world. But I'll take your word on it.
But that's pretty cool, Lex Luthor's sister.
Yeah, so I came to LA
Francine
already
Luther.
Being in the union, and that kind of makes it hard when you don't have a ton of credits. So I kept getting offered non-union, I kept
right.
turning it down, and then things just, and oh, and I went through the agents like crazy. It was just ridiculous, you know, they just weren't submitting me.
Well,
and I, what?
Well, I was going to say, well, now that you do the fest, do you find that you because you said you're down there talking to agents and getting more work, do you find that being out there with the fest has helped you get like acting roles?
Well, it's worked several ways. Yes, I've been offered a lot of horror films, but I'm not sure I've actually, I don't think I've done any that were offered to me from people I met through Street Fest.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have done some horror films through the years, but they weren't people I met through Street Fest.
But I guess it never hurts to have yourself, you're out there, and you're constantly meeting people.
Right. I know so many people because of Street Fest. It's unreal. But I will say this, I used to do a lot of Nickelodeon TV shows. Hmm. And I think the festival has heard that.
Oh, because now you have this horror reputation.
Right.
Whether it's warranted or not, you have this horror reputation.
What do they think you're going to do? Show up on the Nick show covered in blood and stabbing people? Like, I don't understand.
Well, you know, they're very, very picky. They do background checks on people.
Really?
Before they will let you work on a show, they do all this. And, you know, I've done several of them. I was recurring on the TV show Zoe 101. I love doing Nickelodeon shows. The kids are fun. Kids recognize you when you're out and about. They think it's the greatest thing ever. And ever since Street Fest started really getting in the spotlight, they just stopped calling me in. And these casting people loved me. So it's kind of weird coincidence.
I wonder what they're... I mean, I have some awful ideas of what they're looking for in background checks, but nothing that would apply to you. So I'm like,
well, oh, I know.
You'll never
exactly,
be on a Nick show.
I think it's just the fact that my name is out there in all these press releases and everything associated with a horror film festival. It's very bizarre.
But you were recently in a Mel Gibson film. You were in Get the Gringo.
Yes. Yep, it's called Get the Gringo. We shot it in Mexico City.
Wow.
I know, and you know, people kept going, aren't you scared? I'm like, no, I think I'll be fine. Well, you know, like the first day I get there, all I had to do was go get measured for costumes. So, you know, I kind of went for a walk around the hotel and stuff, and slowly noticing I'm the only white girl, I'm the only blonde person. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
You know.
And then people at the hotel were saying, you know what, you don't want to carry your purse on you, don't wear jewelry. So then I started getting a little nervous, but basically every time I left, I was with a driver or someone from set, so I didn't feel nervous.
You're being You're being protected by Mel Gibson's people.
Well, maybe, exactly. Maybe that's exactly why you're not getting the Nickelodeon gigs, because you were in a Mel Gibson film.
No, because the Mel Gibson film is more recent. It just came out last year.
Okay.
No, but, I mean, no. No, I don't think that's... Have you guys seen it?
Shamefully, I have not. And I know you tweet about it all the time. I actually have a copy of it here, and I just haven't put it in yet.
That's okay. If you like the gritty action, you're gonna love it.
I do. And you know, I know he's got some issues, but I've always loved Mel Gibson.
Yeah, me too.
I've always loved, like, back from the Mad Max and Lethal Weapon days, I've always been a fan. He's good with gritty stuff like that.
Big fan of Man Without a Face.
Man Without a Face. Forever Young.
Braveheart.
So how was Mel?
Well, the crazy thing is, when we shot this, it was before any of that happened.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm in Mexico, and I think he's amazing. We had a blast. He's very funny on set. He's very giving. Oh my gosh, he kept coming up with ways to add to my scenes, to make them longer, to make them bigger, and I was like so grateful, and just an utter professional. We really had a good time. And then I leave, and a couple months later, all this stuff happened, and I kept thinking, this is not the same person.
You know, it's, I don't know. He does great work. That's all I know. I just know what I see. I've always been good at separating what people do, like what you hear about them, and then what you see on the screen. I've always been good with
from
that.
From the drunken voicemails they leave?
Yes, exactly.
You guys think about this. Let's say, would you want your worst argument aired for the world to hear? I know I wouldn't.
Well, you know, that's kind of like the whole thing that happened with Christian Bale.
Alec Baldwin.
Or Alec Baldwin. Yeah, the Christian Bale thing is a really, like, he, you know, everybody's entitled to get mad at some point. And Christian Bale got mad on the set that time, and then it's like this thing where he's this terrible person, where he obviously isn't.
So where's the anti-Semitism come in?
Well, that's for another time. But, so, I mean, obviously this is a big balancing act, Shriek Fest and the acting and stuff, but you seem to be pulling it off.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I don't know how. You know, like when you get something done and you look back and you go, how did I do that? I have a 4-year-old, too.
So, I know, you're a mother, you're doing it all. It's, and we were talking about how it grew over the years, so you got any, like, well, I'm thinking about past years. Do you have any good stories or any, like, films that have come from the fest, or actors you've gotten to meet because of the fest, and people who have attended it and stuff like that? Any good stories with those kind of people?
Well, you know, I'm going to start by saying 95% of all films that are in Shriek Fest get distribution.
Wow.
Yeah, even short films. Because now they're doing DVD compilations, or they're adding them to the beginning of a feature.
And horror movies, more than any other genre, there's like a life on DVD for them. Like, I have a lot of friends who are big horror movie buffs, and they know about all these films that don't necessarily get theatrical release, but they know about these movies coming to DVD. They hear about them. They're out there.
Right, exactly. And it's amazing what, and you can see why people, even if they don't necessarily want to be in horror, they start with horror, because there's so many more opportunities in that respect. You can have the worst horror film in the world, and it can get distribution with some of these, you know, smaller companies. You're not going to make any money, but...
Well, I think
we
should make the worst horror film in the world.
I think we're going to make it, and we're going to submit it to Shriekfest this year.
It's going to basically be a remake of Oliver Stone's Talk Radio, but a killer is stalking two podcasters.
Yeah, that's it.
And Eric Bogosian can play the killer.
And it's all shot in my apartment.
I think it's a great idea.
Contained.
Can Andrew Marchand play the killer?
And make sure you use your friends as actors.
Yes.
Don't get real actors.
No professionals.
Don't light it. Don't light it very well at all. And have horrible sound. Don't use a mic. Just use the mic and the camera.
I think horrible sound is our stock in trade.
Now so how many submissions do you have to go through a year?
A lot.
Yeah.
Honestly, we don't even count them anymore.
A lot
it's
of bad
just
horror.
Gotten so frustrated. Well, and it takes too much time. You know, like, I'll start out, and I'll kind of make the little marks, and I'll go, okay, that's the fifth feature that was submitted, that's the sixth, and I'll start it, and then you just get overwhelmed. Like, right now, my desk back there is just stacked full of submissions, and it's overwhelming and it's scary. I have over 40 judges.
Wow.
And they help narrow it down. But even just managing the judges is a huge job, because you're constantly getting them stuff, taking their tallies, writing them down. It's ridiculous.
Can I give you two words of advice?
Yes.
College interns.
Oh, yes. No, I definitely have some interns. Thank you. You know, for the longest time, I wasn't doing it. I was just like, no, I could do it all.
Nope.
And then it got to the point where, like, this is silly, Denise. You can't do it all.
Now, I wanted to ask you one more thing with Shriek Fest, and it's the Shriek Fest Radio. Tell us what that's all about.
Last year, I kept getting contacted by Robert over at Live Paranormal, and he kept begging me to do a radio show. And I was like, no, I don't have time. Thank you anyway. And he kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. And I said, okay, if we're going to do one, it's going to be called Shriek Fest Radio. He said, great, let's do it. I go, I can't host it. I don't have time. That's all I'm giving you right now. And then he was like, okay, I'll get you a host. And I said, no, really, I don't have time. I'll get you a host. You just have to line up the people. And I was like, okay, let's try it. We'll do it every other week and we'll see. Well, then it became popular, so now it's every week. And my hostess, she had a baby and realized she had to cut some things out of her life so she'd have more time with her child. And now I am hosting it. Somehow this was not supposed to happen.
College interns.
The exact thing you said wouldn't happen has happened.
Exactly. And the crazy thing is, the first time I did it, she showed me how to run the board and all this stuff, and I was really nervous, and it was kind of fun. And then... So now I think I've hosted it maybe 8 times or something. It's kind of fun. Although there are definitely times where I'm like, oh, crap, I got to do that tonight. but it's going really good. And I'm going to get you on there, Will, because I interview all like past finalists, winners who've been in the festival.
I am excited and happy to do it.
I'll have to bang out a quick little script so that I can enter this year.
Please do, Sean. That would be great. But, you know, some of the people really are enjoying it, because how often do you get to go on a radio show, as you guys know, and talk for an hour
every
about
week.
Yourself? Not many people get to do that.
It's true.
And especially screenwriters, because they feel like, well, I just have a script. I don't have a film. Nobody interviews a screenwriter unless they're making, huge studio movies.
Well, one thing I've always liked about Shriek Fest, and I know it's something I've talked to you about in the past, that it's always been so friendly to the artists and so friendly to the people who've made these films. You've been very supportive of everyone who's been involved. Like, I mean, look, I entered a script almost 10 years ago, and we're still in communication. So you've been
well, thank you. Well, and but the way I see it is, you guys are entrusting me with your baby. You put your heart and soul in these projects, and you're entrusting me with them. Plus, you're paying an entry fee.
Yeah.
The least I can do.
That's true.
Is be wonderful and friendly to you, and if I can refer you things, I'm going to do it. And, I get contacted every week of somebody looking for a script or somebody looking for a film or something. And so I always send out referrals. You're still on the list, right?
I get stuff all the time from you, and it's all appreciated.
I think now would be a good time to mention the entry fee for being on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, we didn't tell you about it.
We didn't tell you there's a PayPal page. We'll send you a link. Don't worry about it.
Check is in the mail.
Denise, why don't you tell everybody out there who might both have a horror film or a horror idea they want to submit, or even just want to have information on the festival and know more about it, where they can go and where they can sign up to get this information?
Shriekfest.com. Everything's on there. The festival, we do horror, thriller, sci-fi, fantasy, films, shorts and feature screenplays as well, and we have an original song category. The first cutoff date is May 1st, the last cutoff date is July 10th, so get them in. If you guys have any questions that you don't see answered on the entry form, email me. I'm more than willing to answer, or somebody here will answer. And we're on Facebook and we're on Twitter. Just say hello. You know, on Twitter, if you have a film and you're tweeting things about it, you know, say at Shriekfest and I'll retweet for you. And, you know, I have like 7,000 followers or something.
It's true.
I'll help you out if I can.
And if you're a good listener of the podcast, you've already been to the Shriekfest page, because there'll be a thing on our Facebook page about it. And if you're a great listener of the podcast, you've not only been to the site, but you've gone out and made a film and have submitted it to Shriekfest.
All by May 1st.
All by May 1st. Or by July 10th, you said the other day.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
So there
it's
you
July
go.
July 10th.
So, you know, I wanted to move on and maybe talk about some of these pop culture things with you, as we do here on the show. And since you were coming on, it got me thinking about, on television, horror has become really big also. I mean, you got The Walking Dead, American Horror Story, True Blood, Bates Motel, and NBC.
Kardashians.
The Kardashians. And now you have NBC has Hannibal now. Have you gotten a chance to watch any of these horror shows, or are you too busy?
Yes. I've definitely seen Hannibal, and The Following. Have you guys seen The Following?
I'm watching The Following.
I do not watch The Following.
I
now, what do you think, Will? What do you think about that?
You know, here's the thing with The Following. I've decided to stick with it for the whole season because I like the actors and I like a lot of the mood, but man, some of the storylines, that they're like the worst FBI agents in the history of the FBI.
I know. It's like really, really, this one fool and his little followers can fool the FBI agents? Really?
Compared to like something where, like Hannibal, where they're just so meticulous and precise and everything feels so real in that show that you don't question that this is how procedurally they operate.
I'm really enjoying that one, and I'm really kind of shocked at how much stuff they're showing on TV.
You know, that was one of the things I wanted to bring up, because you have NBC has Hannibal, and I think it's one of the best dramas they've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I keep wondering, like, would it be even stronger on cable? Are we missing something? Because is it sanitized too much for network? Because I know they have to pull an episode this week because
well, that's
of
more thematically, not.
You're kidding? Do they really?
Well, there's. I think one of the plot lines involves children attacking children. They're being a little coy about it, but Brian Fuller actually requested that they pull it because of the events in Boston. But what they're doing is they're doing a compilation, about a 20-minute distillation of the episode, so that you can still get all the character and plot point arcs that carry forward. So they're not confused when they air episode 5.
But I feel like if this were on HBO, that wouldn't even be a question. Like, they wouldn't have done that. They would have just aired.
I agree. But I'm still shocked at what they do show. I mean, I saw the previews for, I guess, this week. They're pretty bloody. And they're, you know, they're just showing all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't normally see on TV.
Can't show a nipple, but you could show a throat slashed open and
exactly.
spraying blood.
I mean, they're showing it.
I mean, even, like you said, The Following, and Sean, you don't watch it, but this week someone got their throat slashed, and I mean, it was pretty graphic.
It was extremely graphic. I mean, it was great makeup effects. It was looked awesome, but yeah, it was on TV.
You know what I find funny about Hannibal is the creepiest stuff in it is just him, like, cutting up meat and eating it like at dinner, and it's, like, so, like, creepy to see him do that. But in theory, if you've come in cold, and I don't know how you would do that in this day and age, but if you came in cold to the show, they haven't told us yet that he's a cannibal. Like,
we don't even know yet whether or not he's killing yet. He could just be entertaining thoughts or be a little twisted. We don't even know for sure whether or not Hannibal has. We know he's manipulative. We know he's a bit of a sociopath. But if he's actually killed someone, that's still a big question mark.
Right. Exactly.
I just love the mood.
And we only know because we know who Hannibal Lecter is.
Right.
But yeah, what if someone didn't?
They would just think it's a weird Danish man who lives in Baltimore with a very heavy accent who wears old school throwback 80s suits. And who has a shockingly retro haircut. One thing I love about Hannibal is that, you know, once again, I don't watch The Following, but my understanding of The Following is that it's just exploitation and shocks for the sake of exploitation and shocks.
It sure seems like it.
Hannibal, the best scenes in the show are the scenes with Will Graham and Hannibal just talking. And the show does such a great job of exploring the costs of violence and the psychic toll it takes. And that because of it, the show sits heavy with you. It's very resonant. And, you know, after watching an episode, you need to kind of look outside and see the sun. It really gets into your head. What do you think about that?
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. And I think one of the strong things it has going for is it the look and the mood. Like, there's a very kind of stylized...
Yeah.
Way it's shot. And but you know, I keep wondering how long of a shelf life does a show like it, because we as an audience, the show works because of the mythology of Hannibal Lecter, like you said, Denise, we know that he's a cannibal. But how long, with the audience knowing what he is, can we buy Will Graham not knowing who he is and the rest of the FBI not know? Because won't we at some point think that they're just idiots just because we know this? Like, how long of a shelf life does it have?
Like, the same with The Following, how we're going, these guys are idiots.
Well, it's gone on too long with this. Like, if on The Following, if Joe Carroll lives past the season, which after last episode looks pretty dicey that he will, but if he does, I mean, it's going to be tough to buy that they couldn't catch him in a season.
Well, and the problem is it's called The Following. He almost can't die. See, here's the problem with the networks, is they don't count on a show lasting longer than one or two episodes.
Right.
And when it does, they're like, crap, what are we right now?
Case in point, How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Man, we still don't know the mother.
Still waiting fucking 10 years. Really? Did you have to start the story that far back for the kids? Did it take you 10 fucking years to tell this story? How much backstory? It's like my parents, he saw her in a class and he took her for some, like, ice cream. And they're married 8 months later. It's not that fucking complicated.
Oh my God, Sean, that's funny.
Well, you know, going back to the Hannibal, what you're saying is, once again, we don't know where we are on the timeline, and I think the show is building enough around it that I don't think it needs to be about...
But we know what he is. We, as an audience...
It's more interesting not seeing him kill, and it's more interesting just exploring everything around that.
And I'm assuming, quick back to The Following, I know we're jumping between two shows, but I think The Following, Denise, my guess is that they're going to get Joe Carroll, and next season's going to be about some different cult. That's my... That's what I'm predicting, but we'll know this time next week.
Unless they pull a thing like The Killing and they don't tell you anything and they leave it in a cliffhanger. Because Kevin Bacon's got to make back the money he lost to Bernie Madoff.
But that's
why do you think he's doing TV,
that's
by
true,
the way?
That's true. He's good. Kevin Bacon's good. He's such a good actor in general.
Yes.
I always liked him.
Well, and I think that's why I'm sticking with the show, because there have been times where we're watching it going, this is so dumb. What are they doing?
The worst was, and I'm sorry because you don't watch the show, but the worst was the episode with the dominatrix.
Begging
to be taken out, like, out of the situation. She kept giving them the word to come in, and the FBI just did nothing to help her. They put her the situation, and then they're like, oh, that's the code word, red. She just kept saying red. She's like, oh, you're seeing red right now. Like, this situation's gone from green to red, and the FBI just doesn't move in. They're like, we're not going to help this woman. We'll let her possibly be murdered.
Exactly. Or they show up at the house, and they've got maybe 20 cars, I don't know. I think more in real life there would be helicopters everywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
look at just what went down in Boston. Not to bring it to real life, but they figured out stuff in Boston pretty quickly. I'm just saying.
And I was an idiot kid.
Yeah.
Okay, so for all our listeners who don't watch Hannibal or The Following, I hope you're still with us.
I'm sure they are. Well, let's move on. You know, I wanted to bring up this... I don't know if you're a fan of Michael Bay's film. For me, I'm not that big a fan of the Transformers movies. They're almost, like, too big and ridiculous for me. Like, I can't really...
Spectacles.
Yeah. And Michael Bay, I feel like my issue with him is that he takes the Transformers so seriously. Like, he makes... Like, the difference between him and, like, a Roland Emmerich spectacle is, like, when Roland Emmerich destroys the world in 2012, I feel like he's laughing along with us. And when Michael Bay has robots fighting, I think he thinks this is, like, Citizen Kane for him. You know what I mean? But he's got this new movie coming out that actually, to a point, intrigues me because it's scaled down. I jokingly called it his indie film, but it cost only $25 million, which is really low.
Which is about the tenth of what one of the Transformers films cost.
And it's pain and gain. Sean, what's this movie about?
I don't know. It's about Mark Wahlberg and The Rock. There's some crime. There's some... I don't know. What are they? They're meatheads. They pump a lot of iron.
And they decide to rob someone.
You guys, I auditioned for a role in this film.
Oh, really?
And so I read small portions of the script. It's really bizarre. And the crazy thing, it's based on a real story.
That's what I hear.
It happened in Florida about these two basically idiots who committed some crimes and were getting away with it. But I saw the trailer. It just looks really, I don't know.
I mean, I think look, I have to see stuff every weekend to review, but I think what makes this a little more appealing is that it does look like it has more of a sense of fun, although it sounds like it comes from a horrible true story. Like, a really terrible story. So I don't know if I mean, again, me separating.
Transformers, also based on a true story.
True story.
Yeah. You don't remember when they destroyed Los Angeles, also known as Cathedral City?
Where were you for the robot wars, Denise? Where did...
You know, I don't know. I must have slept through that.
Well, you know, this movie just looks... Mark Wahlberg is great in everything he's in, except for when he's in Stupid Things. That being said...
Give us some examples.
What was he in that shitty movie last year? Just like a paint-by-numbers where he was a counterfeiter?
Oh,
he was in Broken City, but no, last year he was in another garbage movie where he was a counterfeiter.
What about M. Night Shyamalan?
Oh, The Happening.
That's a whole different level of... You gotta kind of put M. Night Shyamalan movies in their own bubble. No, he did that movie with, like, Giovanni Ribisi.
I know what you're talking about. It had a really generic title.
Everything about that movie just screamed generic.
And Mark Wahlberg, it's so funny because then he'll do, like, The Fighter, or even, like, I thought he was terrific in Ted, which I thought was a very funny movie.
Yeah.
But then he does a lot of generic, like Shooter. Like, he does these movies with these generic titles. And I don't know, call me crazy, I think Pain and Gain could end up being, like you said, Denise, you said the script seemed really crazy, and I think maybe if it embraces that, it could be fun?
Right. I hope. I really hope, because the trailer looked weird, but I really hope.
I gotta say also, and he's been in his handful of generic movies as well, but I like The Rock. I like Dwayne Johnson. Yes. I think he's really charismatic and fun. I think he's, like, you know, he seems like I remember when he kind of burst onto the acting scene, I guess, like, The Rundown was his big...
Yeah, well, he hosted SNL, and everyone's like, oh, shit, this guy's funny and charismatic.
And then he was playing Tooth Fairies, and...
Do you joke about Tooth Fairy? You know how much money he made on that Tooth Fairy movie?
And that movie did well.
That movie made him tens of millions of dollars. So, good on you, The Rock. Way to be smart.
I like him. So, Sean, are you going to see Pain and Gain?
Yeah, I think I'll see it. It looks fun.
Denise, would you see this movie?
I will probably see it, yes.
And I will see it as
well. You have no choice.
I have no choice, but I will see it as well. and you're in Florida. You should see it in Florida. You should see it where the events took place.
You're right. I should. Plus, I want to see who got the role. I didn't.
That's true. Can you tell us what the role was for so we can look out for it?
It was a real estate agent who these guys were buying a house from.
Okay.
Let me tell you what, though. Whoever got that part, I'm sure they're a wonderful actress. But you know what? Denise, you're 10 times the actress.
Well, thank you. You haven't even seen Get the Gringo yet.
Well, you know. Fair point. Fair point. You got me on that one.
I'm serious. You guys are going to love it, so definitely see that.
I swear to God, I have a copy here, and I kept meaning to pop it in, and I haven't just because I'm too busy watching
the following
each week. But now did
you guys like Payback?
I love Payback.
Okay, yes. Then you're going to absolutely love Get the Gringo.
Okay, I heard there was a similar feel to it. That's like the kind of Mel Gibson I like, too, where he's like a little...
Or not what women want?
I like that Mel Gibson, too.
Oh,
that's
like
a fun movie
too.
Until the third act when it all just kind of falls apart.
The, you know, before I just move on, so since we're talking about current films, has there been a current horror film or anything like that you've seen lately? Have you gotten a chance to go to the movies? I know I've been in arguments about the new Evil Dead with a lot of people.
I haven't seen it. I keep hearing it's really good, though.
I really liked it, but I'm finding a lot of, like, people who I guess are truer horror fans than me are having some issues with it. But I think, again, horror fans can be a little nitpicky sometimes with
you
this.
Tell me, genre fans can be snobby?
Yes.
How snobby can they be? They seek out every direct-to-DVD.
But I think they like... I think in a weird way, all the direct-to-DVDs, and I think, again, this plays in really well for your festival, for Shriekfest, is I think there's something about things that are a little more off the beaten track that just appeal to them more. So then when you take a movie like Evil Dead that was originally off the beaten track when it was made in, like, 1980... Now you remake it, and it's a little glossier because now there's an actual budget to it. Right. And I think there's this somewhat, from horror fans, sometimes a desire to reject it because they pride themselves in liking some underground stuff.
Okay.
Well, that and the fact that horror fans hate remakes. They're just so sick of them. I mean, because they're destroying some of these movies.
I mean, I hated the Halloween remake, and I hated the Texas Chainsaw because those are such... Great.
Well, they're introducing these films to a whole new generation of moviegoers.
Oh, you son of a bitch. those ones bomb me because they're so slick and glossy. I feel like The Evil Dead kept more true to the spirit than some of those other ones did. I thought this was a good remake. Halloween, Texas Chainsaw, bad remakes. Just go watch the original Texas Chainsaw.
Did they remake
Chainsaw.
Friday the 13th as well?
They remade that. Oh. I did not see that remake. They remade Nightmare on Elm. They've remade everything.
Okay.
I wanted to move on to this, and I briefly mentioned Boston before because the FBI agents there did a great job, FBI and the law enforcement, in getting these bombers who bombed the marathon and everything.
What's this now?
Yeah, I know. You haven't heard about this, but I'll tell you about it after the show. But they did a really good job, unlike the FBI agents on The Following. But there was a weird thing that happened. There were more photos taken of this than anything else because everybody's got an iPhone and everyone's taking pictures and posting it online and posting it on Facebook and posting it on sites like Reddit. And all of a sudden, the internet turned into a whole bunch of, like, Columbos. Like, everybody decided they were an amateur detective.
Will, let me just ask you one more question.
You're like, I got one more question. And everyone decided, we're gonna crack the case. Because, you know, the FBI can't do it. We're gonna do it. And what this ended up driving me crazy. Because what it resulted in was these people coming around and saying, this is the killer, or look at this photo of this guy, it must be this guy.
And they started scouring all the evidence, all the photos, all the video, and they started looking, oh, there's a guy on the roof, who's blue hoodie guy and who's trench coat guy?
And the night that this big shootout happened, it was a Thursday night, and I was watching the news as I was going to bed, and then I just became riveted, like, what's going to happen next? And I was also following on Twitter, and all these people on Twitter kept tweeting, well, Reddit had the names of the people. Reddit had their names. And they started putting these people's names, like, oh, my God, I'm so bad with names. One name was Molgetta, and one name was Sunil. And they're like, oh, is this guy Sunil? And blah, blah, blah. He's like a missing student, and he's the guy who... And look at these pictures. And people were, like, patting themselves on the back on Twitter, like, Reddit solved the case. We solved the case.
Internet geeks to the rescue.
And I woke up, and I was skeptical of all of this. And I woke up the next morning, and wouldn't you know... It was completely different guys. Reddit got it totally wrong. And all you people thought you were solving the case and you didn't do it. Instead, all you did was you blamed innocent people. There were people on the front page of the New York Post who picked up a story from Reddit and put on the front of the New York Post Bagmen and showed a poor 17-year-old high school student who couldn't leave his house that day because he was afraid of vigilante justice. And that is why... It was ridiculous. And that is why you, Reddit, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you. You're putting people's lives in danger. Don't play amateur detective. Leave detective work to the detectives.
Exactly. Wow. And that's so dangerous. I mean, let's say that 17-year-old now gets picked on constantly because of this. You know, you never know whose lives you're affecting.
And, you know, and they tried to take some sort of, to their credit, however small, they did try to avoid jumping to false conclusions. They kept saying, do not post personal information. Yeah. Remember what happened to Richard Jewell in Atlanta, where he was falsely accused. But still.
But those are the people who, like, maybe run Reddit, but that doesn't... But there are Everyone in the world has access to it, so you can't prevent
And they had the links to all the footage. They go, hey, let's not jump to conclusions, but here's all the data that you can mine to go through, and you know, all you fucking Encyclopedia Browns and Hardy Boys out there, get on it.
You know, Denise, you hadn't heard about that thing with the New York Post, but what's really funny is the New York Post basically refuses to apologize for it. They're basically saying that, like, oh, no, this is the information that we had at the time.
Rupert Murdoch's not backing down? What?
And there was a group in New York yesterday of, like, I forget what they were. I think they might have been, like, some, not The Onion, but they're, like, some funny new fake news organization kind of thing
CNN?
Like that. Yeah, CNN. And they went around and they went to newsstands and slipped in fake apologies that were written really sincerely into all copies of the New York Post. So when people bought their New York Post, they would get this fake apology. But it's still, it was just, yeah, which is pretty great.
People need to be more busy with things.
I think...
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, just wait for the news. Like, just wait for
Will, we are the power now. We have the unlimited resources of the internet. We can solve this shit. Who needs the FBI with their resources?
This podcast...
Fuck these clowns. I don't know what they're doing. We live in our parents' basements. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, because as we've seen the following. We know how the FBI agents are. Will and Sean, on this podcast, we are going to solve all crimes. We are going to turn this into a detective podcast. You come to us with your crimes. You want us to follow, like, maybe see if your wife or husband's been cheating you. We'll tail them, and we'll podcast all about it.
Jake Gittes is on the case.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are going to have so many likes on your page now.
Exactly.
I hope so.
People are going to be contacting you for the craziest thing.
Well, we should start a I've always wanted to be a detective.
Yeah,
there you go.
I think, Denise, this is the last, like, pop culture-related episode.
Next week, we're just going to be talking about infidelity and all sorts of just gruesome domestic abuse.
I'm so glad I'm on the last one. This is so exciting.
We apologize to our guests next week.
Yeah, but we're changing things up.
Sorry, Sharon.
I knew them before they were detectives.
You're going to see us cracking the case on TV. Well, I think this just goes to show what I've always said. The internet is bad.
It really is. Well, you see it on Facebook, too. People will post things without putting any effort in to find out if it's accurate.
Yeah.
And then it creates this whole uproar.
Hey, that cat is very grumpy.
But he may have had a really rough day.
Yeah.
But now everybody thinks that cat is grumpy all the time.
I thought his day was perfect.
Oh, Sean, there you go. Now he's going to be a comedian, too.
Oh, so you're telling me I'm not funny. Will, just move this a leg.
Well, let me, you know, I always like to end with a weird thing. And Denise, you have a lot of jobs right now. Like you said, actress, director of the festival, mother. But if you're looking for new work, the Chinese Safety Alliance, which is part of the government there, is hiring a chief pornography identification officer. They're looking for, they put the job listing out there in China, they're looking for somebody, I guess, to establish industry standards for internet safety to improve China's internet usage environment and protecting the netizens' internet rights and interests. So, I think, I mean, maybe they need more than one. Maybe we should all go to China and try to
porn czars.
And be the porn czars and try to. You're getting the horror porn submissions already, so you.
So I'm an expert.
You're an expert to determine what is and isn't porn.
Right.
So, are you? Will you want me to forward your resume to them? Do you want me to?
May 1st is a cutoff deadline.
That is frightening that they need to hire someone to tell them what is porn.
Yeah.
This is fascinating, although maybe they already have an internal candidate and they just have to put the posting up there because HR is making them do it.
Yeah.
They just have to, like, do a token interview with someone, but really they know who it's going
to
be.
No, because everybody's fighting for the job, so they, yeah, you're right, they have to just do this to be fair.
Hey, China, two words for you, college interns.
You know what the... I have a feeling the title of this episode might end up being College Interns.
I also had down the internet is bad.
The, Well, let me tell you what. Let me, you know, the guy who gets this job in China, and let's face it, they're probably going to give the job to a guy, is the guy who gets this job, he's going to be the only one in the country who gets to watch pornography.
It's like the man in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man in the land of the blind. Although I've always said, if you lived in the land of the blind and you had one eye, you'd be at a severe disadvantage because everything in the land of the blind is calibrated for blind people. Having sight would probably be a disadvantage, would probably be dangerous.
So, being the man with porn in China...
get you killed.
There you go.
Yeah, because he's going to have so
they're
much
gonna be
porn.
Hunting him down.
He's going to just
what,
be...
What was? Where'd you see it? Yeah. How do I get some?
I feel like China is going to have a lot of sexually frustrated people also.
Well, statistically, that's just going to happen.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Well, a billion Chinese can't be wrong.
Yes, I can.
Sean, let me ask you the question before we leave then. What is porn?
What is porn? I'll know it when I see it.
There you go. That's the answer I was looking for.
And I have to do quite a bit of looking.
Yeah.
It's like what is it? Finding transcendence. You never quite get there.
Yeah.
So I just need to keep. It's the yearning. I'm always searching for it.
Well, actually, Denise, you were on two episodes after we had a porn star on, so you know.
Oh really? There was a porn star?
Yeah, yes. We had her 2 weeks ago. This girl, she was a sweetheart. She was great. Siri, who was in a horror movie recently called Ooga Booga.
Booga, booga.
Yeah.
Now, what made you decide to have her on, or did you not know she was a porn star when you asked
her?
Oh,
we knew.
Well, you know what? We've been doing this podcast for about a year, and we've always wanted to get, like, people from all different walks of life doing different things. Comedy, writing, film,
fucking.
You know? And then we're like, well, let's get a porn star on. And admittedly, I think we also knew it would get us a lot of listeners.
And she's actually she was a wonderful guest.
Yeah.
She's welcome back anytime.
It wasn't we didn't do like the horrible Howard Stern interview with her. We did like a really legit like, how does this work? How do you get and keep this job, and what is it like, and what, like, yeah, you know, it was more, it wasn't, you know, somebody...
It was very clinical, just what people want from an interview with a porn star.
Yeah, that's the thing, we had a porn star, but we did nothing that you would want to get out
we
of
it. We talked about third world debt relief and genocide in the Sudan. On that
oh
note.
My gosh, well, if that's archived, I might want to listen to that, because I've always been like, how the heck do they do this as their job?
Well, listen to the Siri episode.
It's two episodes ago. You listen to the Siri episode, and I will watch Get the Gringo. That is my goal this weekend.
Okay.
And that should be everyone's goal out there. With that, Denise, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys. Can I quickly say DeniseGossett.com? I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, as well as Shriekfest.
You beat us.
Say hello.
You beat us to it. I was about to say, give us the plugs one more time.
Sorry.
You know, give it one more time.
Okay, DeniseGossett.com, Shriekfest.com. Both are on Facebook and Twitter.
And both just at Shriekfest, at Denise Gossett.
And when is this year Shriekfest yes. going to be?
October 3rd through the 6th.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
You still at the same place, still at Raleigh Studios there?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Just go on the follow website.
I've been taking lots of meetings, and I have some people really hardly pursuing the festival, so who knows?
Well, you know what? I wanted to have you on before all the submissions went, just in case some people out there had it. But you know what? When we get closer to the fest, maybe someone else from the festival wants to come on and talk about it too, and we can we can plug it a little bit more come closer to October.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay, so Sean, why don't you do the thing where you plug your stuff?
At The Sean David on Twitter. You can also like me on Facebook, The Sean David. You can purchase and read, or actually you can just purchase. Reading is secondary. My book, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, at Amazon Kindle. And hopefully I will be doing a reading in the end of May. We shall see. I'll have more details soon. Reading an essay, and it will be funny, and you will laugh, and much fun will be had, and all the other stuff, Instagram, Facebook, letterpress, good times.
All this garbage. And you can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies mostly to an audience of senior citizens. But I review movies, and sometimes the host just leaves and I take over the show, which is what happened this past week. You can also read reviews and essays of mine about film on the website You One Can, like the city in France. And as Sean mentioned, we're talking essays. I'm going to be doing another reading at Michael Duggan's show, Tattletales, on May 23rd. I'm going to be reading an essay that I just tried out this past week. I'll be telling you a bit more about it in the upcoming weeks. Next week on the show, we're very excited to have Sharon Houston. She is a very funny stand-up comic, and she also works in the world of daytime television courtroom shows. And she hosts a very interesting podcast called Daytime Justice. So she's going to be on. She's great. She's funny. She's going to be on telling us all about this. And then the week after that, we're having a terrific actress, Tara Price, on, who actually, this would be something that maybe I should tell her to submit this to Shriekfest. She did, it's a horror comedy. And you could submit those, right, Denise? Horror comedies.
Yes, I've seen them because they break up all the gore.
And it's called Zombie Island, and I've seen it's very funny, and it's also going to be in the L.A. Comedy Fest coming up, and she's going to be on telling us all about it, and I'm going to get your information to her and see if she wants to submit to you guys, because I think it'd be a good fit.
Thank you.
And she's great. She wrote it and acts in it and produces. She's going to tell us all about it. So We got a big May coming up.
Month of women.
Actually, the next four guests are all women, which is better for us because it makes us feel
creepy.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that creepy? That was the word you were going to say, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, good. See, we're in sync.
Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. You're so funny. I loved it.
And with that, Sean,
we're finished.
We're finished.